Blog Talk Radio.
Of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst, and I greet all of you, the listening audience, those of you who have joined us via chat, as well as on the phone lines, and as well as my distinguished panelists and hosts in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And it is my, thank you. It is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to present to you an epitome of an FOI, my dear brother, my dear friend, my protecting friend, my big brother, my Wali, brother Kareem Muhammad, all the way from St. Louis, Missouri. Assalamu alaikum, sir. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam, and I'm fine. All praises due to Allah, dear queen. I have to say, again, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who came to us in the person of Master Faraj Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever, and in the name of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Exalted Christ, regardless of who understands it or not, yes, the Messiah, and in the name of the divine reminder, our Redeemer in our midst today, a man that we should all listen to, regardless of what camp we may be in, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I want to thank you again for the opportunity to once again use these airwaves in the service of Almighty God Allah. How are you today?
I'm blessed by Allah's grace and permission, and I'm honored to be back on here another Monday night with all of you. So I couldn't ask for anything more. All praises due to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, you know how I am. You know me. I mean, I'm about just rolling on in and getting started. So I want first to have our panelists to present themselves and let our listening audience and our audience in the chat room know something about yourself. So I'm going to start with you, Brother Leon. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaykum salam, sir. How are you, dear brother?
Yes, sir. Just let the people know who you are, brother. Just a little bit about
glad
yourself.
Glad to be on the show, brother. Glad to be on the show and glad to be with the part of the royal family, brother. It's a blessing to share wisdom and understanding. I'm Brother Leon Muhammad, Las Vegas, Nevada, mosque number 75 under Minister Duke. I've been with the nation for quite some time and have soldiered in many different cities and, you know, always willing to help out in the cause of nation building and to help in any capacity I can. And so, you know, that's pretty much my, you know, time, you know, in my presenting myself to you all. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. All praises due to Allah. And now, a man who needs no introduction, however, we are going to allow you to present yourself. My brother, Rakim, please, let the people know who you are, brother, really who you are.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. My name is Rakim Khalik Muhammad, brother. There's a rumor, crazy rumor going around that I'm the CEO and founder of Nation Building Movement, but I want everybody to know that I'm just your brother and servant. That's all I am. And I'm here to enjoy this great show hosted by our brother, Dr. Kareem. Because the brother is doctoring the show. But I'm here to enjoy this great show by Dr. Kareem and Muhammad. And I'm in the house with my big sister Gidget and brother Lee. What's your brother name? Leon?
Brother Leon.
Yes, sir. Brother Leon, sir.
Brother Leon. I don't want to mess your name up, brother. I was about to say Leo, but let me say Leon. I'm here to enjoy
the nickname. You just stick to Leon, you know.
Yes, sir. But I'm here to enjoy the show, brother. I'm just here to enjoy the show. I'm tired. Brother hasn't slept in days, but it ain't, the show must go on, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I do understand. Well, you know, now I know some people may take offense to this. However, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that Master Farah Muhammad taught him that sleep is just a bad habit we picked up, brother.
Bear witness.
I believe that.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So moving right along, yes, tonight's show, this is Conscious Black Nation, where we discuss issues, yes, problems, if you will, but more so what we're here to do is to address conditions that we are living with and living under, and then provide practical solutions. In other words, practical application of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, of the scriptures, so that we as individuals may move forward in our everyday life. See, because no matter what I study, no matter where I say I'm at, if what I have doesn't allow me to solve the problems, I'll use that language, that come up in my everyday life or the situations that come up, then it's useless to me. You know, it's just a bunch of talk. And so our subject or our topic tonight is the aims of Islam, carrying our faith into practice. And so that we could have a good foundation for this, let me explain. In the nation of what we call the Nation of Islam, I call it the Nation of Islam proper, meaning those of us who are in the ranks, who are members of the Nation of Islam, and in particular, under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we were given what are called the aims of Islam, and there are five of them which we are going to go through tonight. But in order to lay a foundation for that, we're going to start in the Holy Quran Sharif, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation. This is in Surah or Chapter 2, and we're going to read ayat or verses 114 and 115. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. We seek refuge in Allah, God, against the accursed shaitan, Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. And who is more unjust than he who prevents men from the mosques of Allah, from his name being remembered therein, and strives to ruin them? As for these, it was not proper for them to enter them except in fear. For them is disgrace in this world, and theirs is a grievous chastisement in the hereafter. And Allah is the east and the west. So whither you turn thither is Allah's purpose. Surely Allah is ample giving, knowing. And now we will go to the Bible, King James Version. Pardon me, Authorized King James Version. Let's be right and exact. You know, this one was authorized. And we're going to the book of John, chapter 10, starting in the 7th verse, and it reads, Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that I might have, I am come that they, pardon me, might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have, I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And before we go any further, I'd like to present to you, introduce to you, our beloved brother, minister, our friend, student minister James Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida. As-salamu alaykum, sir. Wa alaikum salam, Brother Kareem. Wonderful
yes,
to hear your voice and to be listening to this wonderful show. And I hope our dear sister Queen Aziza is with us.
Is she with us?
Assalamu alaikum, Queen.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. How are you?
I'm fine by Allah's grace. Listen, dear brother, I got on a bit after the opening, and I heard you reciting some verses. I didn't get to where the verses are, though.
Yes, sir. The first verses that we went into were from the Quran, Surah 2, Ayats 114 and 115. And then the others were from the Bible, the Book of John in the New Testament, chapter 10, verses 7 through 18.
Okay. All right. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. All right. Now, as they say, the game's all here. And like I said, you know me, I'm not about wasting any time. We're going to get right into it. As we said at the top of the show, our topic tonight is the aims of Islam carrying our faith into practice. And for those, again, who don't know necessarily what an aim is, in the dictionary it defines aim as to direct a course, to direct toward a specified object or goal, to estimate, mark, or target, intention, a determination, to act in a certain way, resolve. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with you, Brother Leon. Where we're coming from comes from the book given to us recently by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, The Restrictive Law of Islam Is Our Success. However, these aims of Islam I was given, I was taught as a child, and there are five of them specifically that we were given. However, in the book it reads like this. It says, the purpose of this book is for every believer to study and apply the restrictive law of Islam to their lives so that we together may be successful in carrying out the aims of Islam in North America.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So now, this is aim number one, and I want to start with you, Brother Leon. Here it is. It says, to do unto others as we would have done unto ourselves. Brother Leon, give me from your view a practical application of that. Just real simple.
Oh, yes, sir. Well, it's simple, but it's also difficulty because the practice, you know, or action for purpose in the practical application to do unto others as you would have them done on to ourselves. You know, if you're trying to break bad habits, you want somebody else, you know, to maybe do it, then maybe you should, you know, do it yourself, as far as maybe smoking, drinking, gossip, overeating, sleeping, like brother said, too much TV, you know, and whatever in that, you know, because you pretty much you know, to do unto others as you would have done unto yourself. Uh, you know, because before you can be onto others as you be onto yourself, Allah had a desire to build his will. So if you're going to do unto others as you have done to yourself, then you got to be a great example to be able to do unto others what you want done for them to do back onto you. So I think, you know, we got to break a lot of bad habits in order to do unto others. Because how could you do unto others if you don't know yourself? So, you know, I'll just end it right there for now. Because I'm an old engine. It takes me time to build up. And I was really focusing on the practical application, you know, or the practice or the action for purpose. So, you know.
Yes, sir.
That. So, yes, sir.
Not a problem, black man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother Rakim.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Same question to you, brother. Aim number one that we were given is to do unto others as we would have done unto our own selves. Talk to me.
Well, brother, that covers so much ground, brother. I really don't know where to begin that. Yes, sir, in the beginning, brother. First of all, love and respect. That's part of what you need to do for others. You love and respect others. How can you demand love and respect or courtesy when you don't give it yourself? And a lot of us, we want respect, but we don't want to respect the next brother or the next sister. We want people to do for us, but we're so selfish. We only think about ourselves and we don't want to do for another. I mean, there are just so many things that I can speak on with this aim, number one. It just covers so much ground, brother.
Yes, sir. I praise be to Allah. And student minister James Muhammad.
Yes, sir. Brother Kareem, yes. Both brothers, yes. Leon and brother Rakim, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, dear brother. You make excellent points. The first of which Brother Leon made was that we have to be exemplary of what we say. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we have to have subject and verb agreement. That
yes,
is
sir.
To say that we can't say out of our mouth what is inconsistent in our actions. And Brother Rakim said that we need to love and respect each other. And that is absolutely the truth. That is the motive from which one would do unto others as he would have done unto himself if he loves himself and therefore will do unto others as he would himself, then he would have to love the others as he loves himself. So these are all excellent points. Principally, dear brother, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that axiom or that saying, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is a principle of fair dealing, one with the other.
Yes, sir.
Whatever you read, I'm sorry. I had to pause for a second there.
Yes, sir.
But the danger in violating that basic principle of fair dealing is the reaping of what one sows. And as a man sows, so shall he reap. And Allah says in the Quran, man only gets that which his hands have wrought or which his own hands have sent forth. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated, a few lecture series or lecture installments ago in the time and what must be done, he said, this is the day of judgment. It is the day of requital, which means that whatever we send forth, rest assured, it will come back at us, and very soon. And so, if we are to reap what we sow, then any intelligent person would sow good deeds towards others that they may reap good deeds. Not that the motivation is to get something or reward as a result of our actions, but that's a principle in nature. Whatever we send forth, we will get. And whatever we sow, so shall we reap. It is a principle of fair dealing, one with the other.
Yes, sir. Beautiful.
Praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir. And Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir, I'm right here.
Yes, ma'am, I know you are, and I don't want to tax you. However, on this first aim, I definitely must get that balance. You know, I must have the feminine on me.
Why you always do this to me? You caught me off guard. Okay, are we still on do unto others as we have them do unto you?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, you know, it's. I think that's a very simplistic aim. You know, in all fairness, of how we want to be treated, that's how we treat one another, and not have that false sense of superiority over anyone. If we want love and respect and honor and dignity, then that's how we have to present and carry ourselves, not when it's convenient for us, but making it a way of life. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. Yes, ma'am.
Walaikum salam.
Like I said, that balance. All right. At this point, I'm now on the second one, which is aim number two. It states this, to teach the true religion of Islam, the history of the world of man and mankind as given to us from Allah God, who came in the person of Master W.F. Muhammad, to whom all praise is due. That's aim number two. Now, for it to state like that, to teach the true religion of Islam, denotes or would have one think or believe that evidently there's a false religion of Islam. I mean, I'm just saying that's why you put it in that language, because evidently there's something out there that's masquerading as Islam. And I want to state very plainly that when I say Islam, I'm not talking about the practices of some people over in the Middle East. I'm not talking about a specific, quote-unquote, religion. When I say Islam, I'm talking about what Islam means at its root, at its core, which is total submission to the will of God. That's what we mean by Islam. So when it says to teach the true religion of Islam, the history of the world of man and mankind as given to us from Allah God, who came in the person of Master W.F. Muhammad, to whom all praise is due, that is the second aim of Islam in North America. I'm going to go to you first, Brother Rakim.
Yes, sir. The main word that we should look at in this aim is the word true. Like you stated, Brother Kareem, in order for there to be a true or truth, there must be false or falsehood somewhere in the picture. So therefore, you can take this word and you can look at aim number two. We can say the true religion of Islam, or the true history of the world, or of man, or the true history of mankind, and the true, the one and true God, who is Master Farad Muhammad. True. I mean, you got to know history in order to know what religion is right and what Islam is. If you know the history of Islam, or you know the history of the world of mankind, or the man of mankind, then it takes you to what our religion is, and our religion is Islam, which is total submission to the will of Almighty God, Allah. And you got, like you mentioned, there's so many false versions of Islam out there. That's why you got so much confusion right now in the Middle East, which is the so-called world of Islam. You got so much confusion, and what causes confusion? Lies. So therefore, that is the aim. We must know the true history of Islam, the true history of the world and mankind. And we don't know this. We don't know what the true what true Islam is, and we don't know, or we wouldn't find out who God is, or wouldn't know who God is, which is Master Farad Muhammad. And he came to teach us true Islam, and he's the only, and he is a deity, the deity that we all believe. He taught us the history of mankind and the history of the world, and he told us why Islam was messed up. He gave us the root of Islam, where it comes from, where man come from, where mankind come from, what the meaning of mankind is. We look at the Bible and the Quran, and we see mankind, but most of us don't know what that word mankind is, especially if you outside of the Nation of Islam. So in order to teach the history of mankind, the history of Islam and the history of man must be taught first. And so we know that mankind came from man. We know that Islam came from man. We know that God is a man. So, brother, there are so many things we can cover with aim number two as well. There's just so much, brother. I'm trying to make it plain because I know we got listeners out there that are not Muslim and they don't, they, if I get too eloquent with it or whatever, they don't understand where I'm coming from. So I'm trying to speak as close to the streets as I possibly can without getting the brothers and sisters confused. So you must excuse me, brother. And I'm tired too.
Yes, sir, I understand. Well, I mean, and before I move on to the next panelist, I would say this, the best thing for us to do is simply to speak plain language. We know what the teachings are. We know what each of those things it mentions are. And in a brief way, we just share that information. But thank you, brother. Thank you for your response. I mean, like I say here, I mean, we don't look at it as a wrong answer because we're responding from our experience, from our view.
Yes, sir.
From our position on that 360-degree circle of knowledge. You know, so I understand. Thank you. Yes, sir. Brother Student Minister James Muhammad.
Yes, sir. Thank
yes, sir.
You,
same
Brother
question
Kareem.
To you, sir.
Yes, sir. Can you repeat that aim again, dear brother, please?
Yes, sir, certainly. Aim number two states, to teach the true religion of Islam, the history of the world of man and mankind as given to us from Allah God, who came in the person of Master W.F. Muhammad, to whom all praise is due.
Thank you, dear brother. And I'd like to go to the Quran in my attempt to answer this question. In the 30th surah or chapter, the 30th verse, we read, so set thy face for religion being upright, the nature made by Allah in which he has created men. There is no altering Allah's creation. That is the right religion, but most people know not. My dear brother, what throws us is the terminologies we use, the language we use. When we say Islam to define or to label our religion, we're only saying obedience to God, submission to God. Principally, this is the same religion as Christianity. Every good Christian wants to obey God, and every good Christian will strive to submit their will and defer their will to the will of Almighty God Allah. But what we're really talking about here is the nature in which God created the human being. It says, so set thy face for religion being upright. The human being is created in an upright state of mind, created with an upright nature. It's the nature made by Allah in which he has created man. Then he says, there is no altering Allah's creation. Well, if you alter creation, then you're altering the nature in which creation is created. In this case, the altering of the nature of the human being is the altering of God's religion. Because if we are left in our unaltered state, Allah says in this ayat or verse, that is the right religion, but most people know not. I want to also go to the third verse, down toward the bottom of the verse, wherein it states, this day have those who disbelieve despaired of your religion. So fear them not and fear me. This day have I perfected for you your religion and completed my favor to you and chosen for you Islam as a religion. Now, I put emphasis on the word as because that word as means like, but not really that. Islam is not a religion. Islam is actually the nature of God and the nature in which he has created man, and it is systematically a way of life in that Islam speaks to every aspect of human existence and gives guidance as to how to maximize the benefit of our lives in that particular aspect of life. So it's not really a religion, it is a way of life. And the way of life is coming out of the nature in which we were created. So there is no altering Allah's creation. That is the right religion. But because most of us know not, we are arguing one with another. We are exalting labels and rituals and practices of signs and symbols over and above the principles of truth that run throughout every faith expression. So Islam, true Islam, is the nature in which we are created. And it is our responsibility to teach the history of Islam. And this is why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad took us all the way back to the self-creation of Almighty God Allah. Not back to Muhammad, not back to Abraham, not back to any prophet or messenger that brought a revelation from him. He brings us all the way back to the self-creation of God, because in that self-creation, God is making himself the first Muslim. He obeys his own laws. He makes the standard of obedience in the very process by which he brings himself into being. And what is the first law that he has submitted to? The first law that he has submitted to is that everything in life starts in the darkness and then comes into the light. Everything in life starts small and then grows from that small state. So he's the first Muslim. So I'll stop right there, brother.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Nothing for me to say. I can't add anything to that. Praise be to Allah. And Brother Leon.
Yes, sir. I'm here, brother.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Well, we want to get your view on aim number two.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir, brother. And please forgive me. I'm going to step away from the text that I had prepared because I was coming from Building the Wheel Part 1. You know, so I'm going to step away from that and just stay in the thread. So to me, to teach the truth that God gave to us, you know, of man and mankind, the battle of the wheels of history that's taught to us by Master Fra Muhammad, the best knower. I believe that, I don't know, something is telling me that you have to draw that line at 1930 when the teacher came to us to teach us about the old world and the new world of man and mankind, you know, or the history, you know, so we could put our mind in the frame that we will know where we are, because we didn't even know where we were, brother. We was just here, and they took off our fathers away from us to teach us anything that we knew about, you know, and he gave us, and by them taking us away, we didn't have no purpose of the book. So we was just here. So with his coming to teach us man and mankind and the history and the battle of the wheels, who better know than the best knower who came and brought the knowledge to the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he stood up in 1930 between 30-33 and started teaching us of the old world that we knew, but it was cut off from us, and then teach us where we were and the new world, which is what's to come, to where we are now, in the process that you have to be in the restricted laws, you know, to participate in that success, to carry out the aim and purpose of the history, so we will know and be able to teach our people and the world's people, so we can be in better time, where we can be in better understanding, and then that way we can you know, you can do unto others as you do unto yourself, as the first question, you see. So I believe that without going any further, you know, that's the history of man and mankind, and the reason why we should know, dear brother. And I'm gonna leave it right there. So I'm staying the three.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. So that's
yes,
fine. I mean, this is that again. We're talking about the aims of Islam in North America. You know, I mean,
yes,
there's
sir.
There's a distinction that is made because, and when that distinction is made, is because. We need to understand that regardless as Student Minister James Muhammad so eloquently, and I mean, I say that not just trying to stroke the brother, but I mean, he did it in an eloquent manner, meaning in such a fashion that it's easy to understand.
Yes, sir.
Islam being entire submission to the will of God, so regardless of what rituals I may practice, or as he said, what label I may go under at this time.
Right.
We're talking about entire submission to the will of God. So what does that constitute? And aim number two, he said, to teach the true religion. And I'm going to deal with that word religion for just a second. See, a lot of people think religion means you say, oh, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Christian, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, I'm a Jehovah's Witness, it's so many different labels, as our brother said. But the label is not the religion. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said years ago, and he continues to teach, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, that our religion is not what we say, it's what we do. Now,
yes, sir.
Religion is defined as a set of practices and principles practiced. Notice what it said. It didn't say talked about. It said practiced on a regular basis, which are
right.
Designed to reconnect the person or the spirit or the soul to the Creator. That's how it's defined in theological terms. That's what a religion is. So that
yes,
means
sir.
That, like I said, I could talk this all day. However, when it comes down, as they say, brass tacks, as the old folks used to say to me, it's what I do. That's what my religion is. You know, and so that being the case, yes. He said to teach the true religion of total submission to the will of God. In other words, to teach the true principles and practices of entire submission to the will of Almighty God. Then it says the history of the world of man and mankind. Well, we've been given that in the lessons. And like we were saying, there's a lot of individuals that they're not members of the Nation of Islam, quote-unquote, as I said earlier, I say proper, and they may not be aware of the lessons, but it's not something that we have hidden. I mean, for example, the history of Yaqub is common now. I know individuals who know about that. I know young men and young women who use the term devil, who use the term Yaqub or Yaqub's children, though they may not know the depths of what they're talking about. So it's there.
That's right.
And I believe it's our responsibility to give them the depth in that. And so that being the case, I'm gonna move on now to aim number three. And like I said, what we're talking about is, and I personally believe that we have been giving the people that practical application of it in their everyday life. Aim number three says, now we will not make war, nor fight wars for or against any except in self-defense. On Allah do we rely to fight our battle. A Muslim shall never be the aggressor. Peace is the way of the righteous. And I want to go to you, Brother Leon, first.
Okay, yes, sir, brother. And I think what that's saying is, you know, not making war here against anyone, because really it seems like there's a war against us. So if we are not to make war, then we must look and go, well, I mean, if we're not the aggressors and we've been aggressed upon, and we're not to make war, then, I mean, how are we going to, you know, how are we going to get defended? And it says don't carry a penknife. You know, you don't need weapons if you have God on your side. Like people say, well, I got God, but then they get a lot of weapons and kill innocent children here and abroad with these mass destruction weapons, and then claim that they got God and aggress people. So if the peace is the way of the righteous, and we are not to make war, and the Nation of Islam been here for 80 years, and we don't even have a nosebleed, and people respect us, then that's proof with the wisdom that we have of the history of man and mankind from our teacher, Master Prophet Muhammad. And we want what we want, like problem number one, do unto others as you do unto yourself, then we want to live in peace and righteousness and not being the aggressor and not starting wars, and we shouldn't have to assign on to fight wars abroad and murder other people when we're being murdered here. And so that should be proof too that that God is here for us, because that's the way we move in peace and in righteousness, and we are never the aggressor. And Allah, when we rely totally on Allah to fight our battles, and He is proving that today. So that, I'm gonna leave it right there, brother. That's how I feel about the aim, you know, aim number three, with tying in two and one. So I'm gonna leave it right there.
Praise be to Allah, yes sir.
Yes,
brother Rakim.
Yes sir.
Come on, bro. Talk to me.
Okay, brother. Look at aim number three. I'm gonna read this, brother, and I will.
Yes, sir.
And it will give you a better way of answering. Or give an answer what this means. We will not make war nor fight wars for or against any except in self-defense. Now, we are Muslims. Muslim means one of peace. Or shall I say, Islam means peace. Muslim means one of peace. So therefore, us being Muslims, we're not going to go out and just, we're not supposed to go out and just fight nobody, just for the hell of it. I mean, a lot of us as Muslims, and I know Brother Kareem, you sound like a militant yourself, brother. You might be guilty as I am. Back in the day, brother, when somebody said something bad against the Nation of Islam, brother, I was ready to whoop their ass. That's how I was.
I want to crack them.
But the thing about it was, I was grown, I was just a baby in Islam, still a baby in Islam, as we all are. When someone said something bad about Islam, or they said any little thing that you thought that was totally disrespectful, you were ready to get on their butt. But as you grow into Islam, grow into this teaching that was given to us by Master Farouk Muhammad, you realize that not only are you Muslim and say you Muslim, you must live and do as you say. You got to live your belief, live your faith. So therefore, somebody can talk all they want to all day long. They can pull out the guns, as long as they don't shoot now. They don't shoot now. That's a totally different story. But they can talk all they want to talk, brother, and you don't supposed to fight them or be the aggressor. Some of us are very aggressive, but when we realize that we are Muslims and we got to live Islam, I mean, we ain't going to go out and just lash out at somebody because he said something that we disagree with. Somebody might say something bad to you, brother. That's like, on Allah do we rely to fight our battles. Somebody may flip you the bird and say, forget Muslims. They may walk in the yard and fall on their face. They may trip over a tree stump. That's Allah doing work right there, brother. So you didn't have to lay a finger on them. They didn't already fell on their face. A Muslim should never be the aggressor. Peace is the way of the righteous. We should always be peaceful, because if you notice, the main people that we're trying to save out here, the main people that we're trying to raise from the dead, these are the people that say the most negative things about Islam, the so-called Christian. Can I say that, brother? The so-called Christian?
Black man.
Yes, sir. But the reason I say so-called Christian, I'm not trying to offend any Christians out there. If you're a real Christian, you know that you are, if you study the Injil or the Gospel or the Bible or the Torah, you know that if you're studying or practicing the Bible, you're practicing Islam. So if you know you're practicing Islam or you're practicing the ways of Jesus, who was a Muslim, if you know your history, which was taught to us by Master Farhad Muhammad, if you know your history, you're not going to fight with a Muslim or go against a Muslim because he's Muslim. You realize that you're practicing and studying Islam. And so I said that to say this, brother. If the Muslims in the third world, in the Middle East, or the so-called third world countries, if they were to follow these restrictive laws, if they had the same beliefs or knew the true Islam that we know that was given to us by Master Farhad Muhammad, there would not be so much terrorism and fighting amongst each other over there in the Middle East today. It wouldn't be. Because one thing about us as Muslims in the Nation of Islam, you will not find in history where we have assaulted anyone. Now, you may go in history and find a little bitty rebellious little group of people who claim they were in the Nation of Islam and they done a bunch of silly little crimes with little pop guns or knobs or whatever, but that had nothing to do with us. This had nothing to do with us. They weren't following the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They weren't following the instructions of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, of Master Farhad, or the Most Honorable Supreme Minister Louis Farrakhan. They were following their own instincts and their own thoughts and ideology of what they should do. So we cannot be blamed for being terrorists or criminals. We have no history of being the aggressor against anyone, whether they're white, black, Jewish, Muslim, or Christian. We never had a violent history against no person on the planet. You would not find that anywhere. And if anybody say that about us, they're a damn liar. Peace is the way of the righteous, and we're the Nation of Islam. We are the righteous, brother. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm gonna take it to the eloquent one, the teacher, the good doctor himself, Brother James.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. And Student Minister James Muhammad, sir.
Yes, sir. I want to say, sir, dear brother, I appreciate the compliments that you pay me, but I am a patient, and I am being doctored on by the doctor, as we all are being doctored on by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the guidance he gives.
That's right.
Let me say that the points that you made, Brother Rakim, are excellent in that it's right in line with the instructions of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He instructs us that when people attack us, at least verbally, and they get low down in their speech and profane in their speech, he says that we should pay them no mind. We should not respond in kind, as difficult as that might be for us. And I'm sure you and others like me have slipped on a few occasions. However, you're right in line with that. Allah loves not the aggressor. He instructs us never to be the aggressor. However, that does not mean that he does not prescribe fighting for us when fighting is justified. Allah says in the Quran that persecution is worse than slaughter. And the word persecution is defined as, in this particular context, a program or campaign to exterminate, drive away, or subjugate a people because of their religion, race, or beliefs. The persecutions of the Christians by Romans is the example they give. Well, we are people who have been subjugated, and the plan of our enemies is to exterminate us and drive us away because of our religion, because of our race, and because of our beliefs. And so, therefore, fighting is prescribed for us. And so that which the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is doing in the way of his instruction and his exposing the synagogue of Satan, as he said in one of the installments, speaking rhetorically as if someone else was saying, Farrakhan, you seem to be going hard. Or Farrakhan, why do you focus on the Jews when we have so many problems of our own in the black community? Well, what you see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan doing is retaliation. And retaliation is justified. Ever since our fathers have set the soles of their feet in the Western Hemisphere, we have been under persecution and subjugation and been subject to a plan of extermination. So now it is our responsibility to speak out, to stand up, and to retaliate, not physically, at least not now. This is why the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that we should not carry any weapons of this world. We have a weapon, and it's not us. It is the Almighty God and His Christ. And that weapon is circling at least 6 miles high up above our heads. It is referred to as the mother plane or the mother wheel or the mothership, in which there are 1,500 baby ships or baby planes. They like to ridicule the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, although they have not ridiculed him lately, and it's very difficult for them to do that, considering that they have been manifesting their presence now and most recently on a regular basis. So we don't need those kinds of weapons. However, fighting is definitely prescribed for us because persecution is worse than slaughter. And Allah says in the Quran, when fighting was prescribed for the early Muslims, it says, but you don't like it. And then he said, perhaps you dislike a thing that is good for you. You know, Malcolm said, may Allah be pleased with him and give him a place in paradise in spite of what he may have done. Malcolm said the only revolution or bloodless revolution is a Negro revolution.
That's right.
We want freedom, but we're not willing to pay the price for freedom. We want freedom, but we're not willing to make the sacrifice for freedom, and that freedom demands. Yes, there will be loss of life. Yes, there will be imprisonment. Yes, there will be wounds inflicted on us in this battle at some point. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that they'd only kill 300 of us. And Allah would kill all of them.
That's right.
So I think if they want to deal with those kinds of odds, then so be it.
Yes, sir.
But if they had any sense at all, they wouldn't.
That's me.
But they must do what they must do, and we must do what we must do. So let us fight hard in the way of Allah with the truth.
Right. That's right.
We hurl truth at falsehood and knock out its brains. And falsehood is an ever-vanishing thing. So we're fighting now. As we speak, we're fighting now with the truth. And that's the best way to fight. But there may come a time, dear family, when we'll have to fight physically. And I pray
that's
to
right.
Allah that when that time comes, if I'm still around, that he will allow me, even if I fear, to overcome my fear and protect me from cowardice.
That's
thank you, Brother Kareem. As-salamu
alaykum. Yes, wa alaykum salam. All praises due to Allah. I mean, this is, again, this is what we're talking about. And those first three, if you notice this, notice how the first three aims are set up. The first thing it tells us about, the first principle it gives us, what I'm seeing is, it says to do unto others as we would have done unto our own selves. And yes, it's speaking to the principle of you reap what you sow. You know, because I know many people, many individuals in and out of, I'm going to say, let's say righteousness, all right? I'm going to use that terminology, make it very general, that when it comes to them and how they're treated, they want to be treated the best. They want to be treated fairly. But when it comes to how they treat others, they are very, very niggardly. Very, very niggardly in how they treat other people. But when it comes to themselves, they want to be so. Yes, first principle. In other words, I have to be one who submits my will to do the will of Almighty God. And that means I got to be selfless, not selfish. Notice the second aim, it says to teach the true religion of Islam. And then it talks about the history of the world of man, meaning our history, which goes back so far that there is no beginning to it. We're taught that Islam has no beginning nor ending. The third aim is, it tells us we've already been given a foundation of how we are to set our lives up. Then it says that we will not make war nor fight wars for or against any except in self-defense. And as Student Minister James Muhammad just said, see, fighting at a time is ordained. I know when I was coming up as a young FOI, as a junior FOI, my sensei, who was the captain of the mob at that time, you know, and you could say I'm a little, I had the best captain as far as I'm concerned at that time, so, you know, I'm a little ticket about folks who've been appointed captain, and I'm going to leave that alone. But the thing is that when he taught us, we were trained like this, that we avoid a fight at all costs, particularly with our people. However, if you were forced to fight, you fight to the death. And when I was told that, I mean, as a young child, I asked, I mean, what do you mean at all costs? He said, yes, even if you have to run away. But you avoid it at all costs. However, if you're cornered, in other words, there's always an option, there's always a way out. But if you're cornered or forced into a position where you must now physically do battle, in other words, someone puts you in that position, then if I got to go to battle, I'm not fighting to maim, you fight to the death. That's how we were taught, that's how we were trained as junior FOI.
That's
you know. And later on in life, I got a chance to understand this. But here's a man, I'm talking about that we know could snatch the heart out of a charging bull. I mean, seriously, not a joke.
Yes.
But he was instructing us to avoid fighting. And I had to grow into that. And as you were talking about, Brother Rakim, and I'm going to wrap this up real quick because we got to move on to the last 2 points, which are all of them are vital, but these speak more directly into what we're talking about, the practical application of these teachings and where we're at now and what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is giving us as he continues through his series, The Time and What Must Be Done. So we need to be busy. As a child, I'm going to tell you something. You could have talked about my mother, not that you could talk about my mother, but you could have talked about my mother and got away with it quicker than you could saying something bad about the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
That's right.
It was time to go to war. And there wasn't nothing you could say, wasn't no apology, nothing. You know, and that's the kind of love we have for the man of God. And yes, today.
That's right. That's
for the man of God in our midst today. It's the same thing. However, we have grown, or we're supposed to be growing in our love. And we're not talking about that old so-called romantic mess, but we're talking about what we discussed a couple of weeks ago, that affection that allows you to have an impact in a person's life of a positive nature. Yes.
That's
if
right.
We have
hey,
to fight, but, we go to war, and we fight to the death. But that's why, because we have what has happened is we operate the same way that the God does. He offers you every opportunity. He offers you every avenue of mercy. But when you back him into a corner, it is what it is. I'm starting to get a little passionate. And I'll get off on a tangent. I don't want to do that. We want to stay on course. And I'm going to start
Brother Kareem,
with you,
Brother Kareem.
This time. Yes, sir.
Yeah, can I just want to drop something in on that? This is Brother Leon.
Yes, sir.
I know
go
I had
right ahead, bro.
Commented on that point, and I left that out. But I just wanted to say this. I'm like the same way, you know, like I say, I'm a foot soldier, been hold every post in the Nation of Islam, many states, and train in martial arts with many brothers. But I just wanted to drop this. It's only 30 seconds to a minute. Well, one day we was at a project in Chicago, one of the worst projects, brother. I'm talking about at nighttime, brother. You would think you were in Iraq. That's how much gunfire was going on. So one day we was on post, me and two other brothers. And the brother came in there whooping on his girl, and his girl ran past us. And you know us being Muslim, we can't just allow him to beat his girl up right there in front of us and nowhere else. So we stepped out. We said, brother, you know, you can't be doing that. This brother upped a 12-gauge sawed-off shotgun on us, and he's like, what you going to do with that? He pulled the trigger. It misfired. He pulled the trigger again. It misfired. But at that same time, brother, we took that 12-gauge. That was me that all that talk was going on, me and these other brothers. We took that 12-gauge shotgun from that brother and whooped him up a little bit. We didn't whoop him up enough to hurt him, but we whooped him up enough, and we got love for our people, and we didn't call the police. We sat there, and we talked to that brother and brought some of their members in and our members, and we squashed the beef. But I'm just saying, you know, we are never the aggressors, but when we do aggress, I might have left that out. But, brother, I ain't going to even talk about half the stuff that I done been into fighting for this nation, and any, you know, if anybody ever aggress us. So I just wanted to drop that point, brother, and, you know, now you can move on, you know, but he brother is so true. The other brother was saying, you know, how we haven't even bloody nobody. No, we don't go around beating on our people. We don't even have a history of that. But once you aggress up on us, I heard the minister say you disturb these hives of bees. It'll take God to get us up off of these off our people, and we don't want to hurt our people. But everybody know the Nation of Islam is nothing to play with. So I just dropped in that, and we love our people, and we want to save our people, and we don't want to hurt our people. But that is in there, and I just had to, you know, comment on that and my experience. And there's more experience, but people wouldn't believe it, so I'm not going to even get into it, and I'm not going to keep pushing this thing because you was digressing on it anyway. So I'm going to digress and give it back to you, and we'll keep the show going.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. And Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Do we have any questions, any comments? Anybody with their hand up?
No, sir. You probably have frightened everyone, but let me remind the listening audience that those of you who are in the chat room, if you have a question, please type it in. And those of you who are joining us via telephone, please press 1 on your dial pad if you have a question for anyone on the panel. But there are no questions at this time. Oh, okay. Well, no, there's no question. It was a comment from Sister Tori, says, good teaching. That was it.
All praise to Allah. Excuse us, sir. We appreciate that. We appreciate that. And now, on aim number 4, I'm going to read it. And I'm going to let you know, give you a heads up. I'm going to come to you first, Brother Student Minister James Muhammad, on this one. Now, aim number 4 reads, we shall do our best to clean ourselves and our people of North America of filth, ignorance, drunkenness, laziness, falsehood, drugs, adultery, fornication, dependent to self-respect and self-sufficiency and universal recognition in the brotherhood of Islam.
Wow. I mean, that encompasses practically every aspect of the resurrection work. Dear brother,
yes, sir.
The unique thing about the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is that when you submit to one of the laws, it makes it that much easier to submit to the other. They seem to go along one with the other, and if you conquer one, then it's that much easier, that much more easy to conquer the other. Now, I want to answer your question, I guess, step by step, if you will. Can
yes,
you
sir.
Repeat just the first part of
yes,
what
sir.
We are to accomplish in this aim?
Yes, sir, absolutely. Aim number 4, the first portion says, we shall do our best to clean ourselves and our people of North America. Then it says, the following examples of filth, ignorance, drunkenness, laziness, falsehood, drugs, adultery, fornication.
Well, let me say this very briefly, dear brother. All of these can be handled by introducing our people to the God inside self. And teaching and training our people into the knowledge of the true and living God and how we are directly from Him and have the same nature. You know, it's interesting how many of us who had addictions and habits that we just could not seem to break. But once we came into the knowledge of self, that is to say, that we were the original people of the earth and that we had a direct relationship with the originator of the heavens and the earth, then it gave us the ability to draw from us, draw from ourselves, a buried power that had been lying dormant within us. It didn't take much. We cut these things out or stop these bad practice behaviors cold turkey. We didn't have to go to institutions. It didn't take us a long time for the most part. I'm not saying it was 100% that way, but for the most part, we stopped these things immediately. And it was because we began to identify the God in us when we became acquainted with the God who created the heavens and the earth and our direct relationship with them. When you come into the knowledge, first of all, you dispel ignorance. That's the first principle of knowledge. Finding out who God is and finding out who you are and finding out who the enemy of God and yourself is, that's the basic principle of knowledge. And then in terms of drunkenness, why does one get drunk? Why would one participate in mind-altering substances? It is because we're not happy with the state of mind we're in, and we're seeking a change of mind. We're seeking a change of condition, but we go after a false remedy, a temporary, an illusionary fix, if you will. We want to feel good. We want to feel better about ourselves. And many of us, because we didn't have answers and don't have answers as to why we're in the condition we're in, we are seeking an escape. We are seeking to dull the pain that attends the inability to answer questions that plague you, or the inability to change the conditions under which you live when those conditions are negative. So we drink because it alters the mind. It goes to the pleasure centers, and for a temporary time, we feel good about ourselves, or we feel good about our condition, or we don't think about our condition. But when we come into the knowledge of ourselves, the knowledge of our God, and the knowledge of our power that we get from our God, then we don't have to seek a false escape into some unreality, some euphoria, some illusionary and temporary fix. No, we have then the knowledge of how to change our condition, so we don't need alcohol, we don't need drugs, we don't need any mind-altering substances, because we have the truth. And when a Muslim says he's high, he's definitely high. He's not talking about from some chemical alteration of the brain. He's talking about the high spirit he is on, or the high level of spirit he is experiencing from the truth that he has been taught. So let's go to adultery.
Yes, sir.
When we are taught the knowledge of the woman, who she is, what is her purpose, what is the benefit that God has put in her for man, and what is the benefit of man that God put in him for the woman, and the sacred institution of marriage. Today, many of us, most of us, get into that marriage commitment, and then we're seeking to get out of it 6 months down the road, a year down the road, 5 years down the road, if it lasts that long, because we don't understand what the marriage tie and process is. But once we are taught how God looks at marriage, how he has ordained marriage, and how he has defined marriage, then we don't get into the act of aborting the marriage process. by getting into extramarital affairs and adultery. I'm not saying that we are perfect in that. I'm only saying that we are more inclined to fidelity and loyalty to our mates because we understand the benefit of being loyal to the process of marriage. It's the same thing as being loyal to the process that we get into trying to become one with Almighty God Allah. So we are loyal to that process. So that handles, for the most part, adultery. And then
yes,
what's the next part, brother?
Well, it says, after adultery, it says fornication.
Well, fornication is premarital sex.
Yes, sir.
We are taught by the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the teachings or message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, which is one and the same, that when we engage in a sexual act with a woman, it devalues her and devalues ourselves because she has surrendered something that God has put in her as a comfort and a reward to a man who demonstrates his worthiness for that kind of pleasure from a woman. So it devalues her and it devalues him. So when we understand the value of a woman, any woman, I'm not talking just about black woman, but any woman, then we don't seek to rob her of her virtue and partake of the pleasure that God has put in her for us without first earning it by demonstrating our responsibility to her and our commitment to fulfilling that responsibility. So that handles fornication for the most part.
Yes, sir. Now, he also talks about the fact that he says, we shall do our best to clean ourselves and our people of North America of, then he says, laziness, falsehood. Let's deal with laziness first.
Yes. That's one of the problems that seems to be more difficult to handle than the other. Because it dictates that you come out of your comfort level. You know, there's something about our nature is that we're very peaceful, and oftentimes in that peaceful state, we will seek the path of least resistance, you see. But when it is extreme, then it is laziness, lethargy, sluggishness, unwilling to face challenges and difficulties, we'd rather just walk away because of the pain that it suggests we have to go through if we are going to surmount a problem or obstacle, go over it or go through it or go around it or go underneath it to accomplish a specific goal. But when we are taught who we are, see, that's the thing, brother. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says, in the educational process, the fundamental principle of knowledge upon which all other principles of knowledge must be founded, must be built, is the knowledge of self. And when we get the knowledge of self and we find out that we're not niggers and coons and buffoons, huh, and colored people, and foolish Negroes, when we find out that we are the original people, particularly and specifically the original man, that we are the makers, the owners, the cream of the planet Earth, the God of the universe. See, that kind of knowledge in your mind, once we accept the reality and truth of that knowledge, it militates against laziness. You just can't be lazy. And you don't succumb to obstacles because you understand, as Allah said in the Quran, that man was created to face difficulty. Not to run from difficulty, but to face difficulties. Whenever we decide or resolve to do something, and I want us to think about this. whenever we resolve to do something, the first expression of opposition doesn't come from the outside. It comes up from the inside. We begin thinking about what we don't have and why we can't do. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough equipment. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough knowledge. Something inside comes up to challenge our resolve to accomplish something. That challenge, or that which comes up from the inside, is not our enemy, but it's there to strengthen our resolve, to strengthen our will. I'll give you an example. If your objective is to build muscles, and you go into a gym and you see the weights and the instruments of exercise, that's an obstacle. That's a challenge. That's a difficulty factor. But if you turn away from the difficulty factor that the weights present, then you will fail in the objective. So the weights are there, not as your enemy, but they're there to strengthen your resolve. And when you face the difficulty, when you tackle the challenge, when you meet the challenge and begin lifting the weights, no matter how heavy they may be, within reason, of course, you don't go crazy. But you begin to build the muscles, thereby achieving the objective for which you came to the gym in the first place. Well, life is like that. It's full of weights, full of obstacles, full of challenges, because we must have something to challenge the expression of a desire so that we can build the muscles of our resolve and we can meet the challenges that our desires present. Make no mistake about it, whenever you desire something, particularly something of greatness, there is immediately attendant difficulty, attendant obstacles. And when we realize, I mean really realize, that we are all God's, children of the Most High God, then we draw from that knowledge, understanding that God does not run from obstacles. God meets obstacles. He faces difficulty, and he overcomes difficulty. See, that's what we draw from. And that all but eliminates laziness. Now, in terms of cleaning our people up, it is our nature to be clean. And when we talk about clean, we're not just talking about physical cleanliness, although that's very important, but we're talking about the cleanliness of mind, the cleanliness of thought in particular. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We're talking about the moral inclination to obey God and to live righteously. That is the kind of cleanliness we're talking about. We migrate towards that cleanliness when we understand who we are, and then share that information with our people. And when we share that information with our people and anyone, then they incline to the same objectives, desires that we do. You see?
Yes, sir.
So that handles the cleanliness of self and to help our people to be clean. The scripture says, wash and be clean. It's not just talking about the body. Yes, that's critical. Or we would have a real problem around here. But it also means to wash with the wisdom of God the mind that has been beset by the corruption of living in Satan's world. Wash that mind. Wash it, that we might purify our thoughts. All right. Thank you. Dear brother, is there another portion to that aim, or are we?
Yes, sir, there is. He speaks about falsehood.
We got to remove falsehood.
Absolutely. As the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said most recently, in the 25th installment of The Time and What Must Be Done, where he defined lie and liar, and he also shared with us the effects of a lie and the effects of lying. And he taught us very briefly and to the point that the nature of the human being is to incline towards truth. He said the universe is built in truth, from truth. And he said that when you lie, it is like planing a piece of wood against the grain. And when you plane a piece of wood against its grain, then you destroy the beauty of the wood. And when you lie, you destroy the beauty of the human being. The brain is created to think right. This is what he said. And whenever we tell a lie, then we go against the nature in which the brain was created. So falsehood. The one thing that we must realize about falsehood is that it is insubstantial. It has no basis other than the kernel of truth upon which the falsehood is made or the falsehood is given. It has to have some truth in it in order to be viable, in order to survive. However, it's so flimsy, it's so frail, it's so insubstantial that all we have to do is tell the truth. We hurl truth at falsehood and knock out its brains. Why? Because falsehood is an ever-vanishing thing. It's insubstantial. It has no base in reality. Now, I want to share some... No, I won't do that. It goes into another subject in terms of how white people were created and how lie became an ingredient in their creation. But that's a subject for another time. So I'll stop here.
Yes, sir. And finally, what it says in AIM 4 is this. It says dependent, because it puts a semicolon there, letting us know that what comes after that, which is built on exactly what you just said, all the things, the bases out there like this that you covered, it says dependent to self-respect and self-sufficiency and universal recognition in the brotherhood of Islam.
That's beautiful. Self-respect. You know, on the surface of things, dear brother, when we look at the surface understanding of that word respect, we think it means, if you pardon my colloquialism, we think it means make sure we give people their props and that we get ours. And that's true. That's a part of the meaning. But look at that word respect. The prefix re means to do again or to repeat. And the word and the suffix, the second part of the word, spect, coming from the word specter or to look. So when you put the words, parts of the word together, it's to look again. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that you never judge anything that is in motion, because that which is in motion has the tendency to change. In other words, look at me now. Look at what I'm doing now. But don't judge me based on what I'm doing now or how I look now, but look again, because as long as I'm living, I'm writing my testament. It is only when I die and I put a period to my testament, then you can adequately look at me properly. But while I'm moving, while I'm living, then look again. Look at me another time, because I won't be the same as I was. I may not be what I'm going to be, but I certainly am not what I was. So we should never look at our people in a judgmental, from a judgmental disposition of mind. All of us can change, given the proper motivation and knowledge to change. Now, self-respect. Self-respect, I would say, in that context, means don't be so hard on yourself when you make a mistake. Don't judge yourself, you know, conclusively because you've made a mistake or I've made a mistake. Learn from the mistake, and in that learning, we can change. So it means to have dignity, self-esteem, to think well of yourself. You know, it means all of that. But I would say in this context, as we are growing, brothers and sisters, and I want to say this to all of you who are listening in the audience, no matter what condition you find yourself in, that condition can change. Never think about suicide. Never, ever think about ending it all. As long as there is life, there is hope, and there is nothing that God cannot accomplish with you and with I, no matter how many people have counted us out. I'm telling you from personal experience, Allah God is great, and there is nothing that he cannot change, no undesirable or negative condition that you're in, no matter how painful and hopeless it looks. I'm telling you that God has the power to bring a change in your life. So respect yourself. That is to look again at yourself,
yes,
and give yourself the opportunity to change.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Allahu Akbar. All praise to Allah.
Yes, sir. That's right. Like I said, and after that, it says self-sufficiency.
Oh, you know, sorry, I just get so carried away. You know, the beauty of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you can take a word
and go for years, brother.
I mean, you know, yeah, we get carried away. You know, that's an interesting word, sufficient or sufficiency. In the context that you're sharing with me in the aims of Islam, it means to stop begging others for what we could unite with knowledge of self and knowledge of God and do and accomplish for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And there's another side of this sufficiency. You know, Allah says in the Quran, man thinks of himself as self-sufficient. And that's an aspect when you think you don't need God. But the fact of the matter is, we need God. But the beauty of that is that he's all we need. He is the only reality. You know, I hear, and I used to say it all the time, and I'm sure you heard it, Brother Kareem and Brother Leon, Brother Rakim and Sister Aziza. You know, Muslims love to say, everything is real, brother. You heard that expression, haven't you?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But that couldn't be farther from the truth. Mostly everything is an illusion. There is only one reality, and that reality is Almighty God Allah. Everything else is illusionary. So, yes, we must be self-sufficient. There's no question about that. We've got to stop laying at the gate of the rich man, as it is written in the parable of Lazarus, begging for the crumbs that fall from his table. We get, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us, nearly $1 trillion out of the American economy, not once in a lifetime, but every year.
That's right.
Every year. Certainly, we have the wherewithal to do for ourselves what we're asking others to do for us, if we would but unite under wisdom and proper guidance. Not just unite, but it has to be under knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and proper guidance. You see? And with that unity, and with that knowledge, and with that wisdom, and with that understanding, and with that guidance, we then become self-sufficient to the extent that we depend solely and wholly on Allah and ourselves. So, by the grace of Allah, does that speak to the question, Brother Kareem?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, absolutely. To aim number four. Everything,
very
I mean,
good.
In Matthew, everything you have given us, again, is you've talked about, like I said, these are things that we can all practice every day.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
It's nothing that's going to require years of study. It's something we can practice every day. And we're coming down to the last, we're in the last 14 minutes of the show, so we still have aim number five to look at. But I want to very, very quickly get Brother Leon to say something about aim number four and also Brother Rakim. So, Brother Leon, if you would.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir, brother. Like I say, I'm away from that first text I had, Building a Wheel Part 1, so I scrapped that. But following behind Brother Minister James, brother, the only thing I could do is just digress from myself, like what he said, because, I mean, he covered so many different levels and so much knowledge. So I'm just going to do this. From the aim of four, it says we shall do our best to clean ourselves and our poor people of North America of filth, ignorance, drunkenness, laziness, falsehood, drugs, adultery, fornication. Okay, and I see that word ourselves. So that was before our people. So that means that if we in there first, then we got to be the example.
That's right.
You know, Yeah, because it says ourselves. It says clean ourselves and our poor people. So, and then it says depend to self-respect and self-sufficiency. So I guess that's like the goal of, you know, like, I mean, you know, what that you know, the self-respect, the self-sufficiency, and universal recognition in the Brotherhood of Islam. So I believe if you go back to aim three, aim two, aim one, all the way up to the purpose of this book, then it covers that, and we need to do that to regain our self-respect, self-sufficiency, universal recognition in the Brotherhood of Islam, because that's who we are. So, you know, that's all I can really say, because anything else, like I say, Brother James just covered, man, it was like, whoa, you know, so that's, you know, so real brief, brother, that's my aim for four, you know.
I mean, yes, sir, you know, all praise due to Allah. Brother Rakim.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, yes, sir. I'm just going to say this, brother, the best way I know how. Aim number four basically tells us to stop being niggas. That's basically what it is. I mean, that just breaks it down. That just breaks down the whole thing to the very last compound. Stop being niggas. We shall do our best to clean ourselves Almighty God, Allah, know we're not perfect, and he know we're raised amongst an enemy and by an enemy, so he know we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to do this overnight. We're not going to be able to accomplish this overnight, so we must do our best with the knowledge that he has given us to clean ourselves, and as Brother Leon said, we must set the example, you know, for our poor people in the wilderness of North America. Okay,
that's
Phil.
Right.
Oh, yes, Phil. You got niggas want to be porno stars, and they want to be pimps, and they want to be everything that's immoral, everything that is the lowest of the low. That's what they want to be. So we must tackle that. We must clean our people up and teach them and set the example, because many of our believers were pimps, whores, and prostitutes, and they set the example very well. There are some believers I know, and I'm not going to say their names, but they did these type of things, and if you were to look at their lives today and see the example that they set while striving to walk in righteousness, you would never guess that they lived these type of lifestyles.
Yes, sir. That's right, brother.
You got brothers and sisters, filth, living in a house full of roaches. If you wasn't dirty and nasty, you wouldn't have no roaches. Leaving food all over your house, and you're not washing dishes. You're not thinking right. You're not acting right. You're using filthy language. You're ignorant. You're not reading. You're not studying. You're not trying to better yourself. You're thinking that after formal education, you don't have to pick up a damn book. Drunkenness. You want to go to the club and get drunk and go to the mosque or, and God forbid, going to the mosque, but go to the house of God with a hangover. Drunkenness. Drunkenness also can mean that you ignorant. You drunk with ignorance. Lazy. You don't want to clean up. Your car is nasty. Your house nasty. You putting on wrinkled clothes and you got your pants sagging. You too damn lazy to put a belt on to pull them up. You walk around bow-legged like you got, well, we ain't going to even talk about that. Falsehood. Oh, man. We lie. And lie, you know, I think it was the messenger that asked, what was the difference between a murderer and a liar? I think the answer was nothing. Because the murderer, he murdered or killed the human being or whoever, and the liar, he killed or murdered the truth. So we must stop being liars, because lying only causes confusion. You look, you go to a church or you go to the mosque or you hang around anybody that's corrupted, they're gonna corrupt you. They can corrupt everybody around them simply because they lie, and a lie can go a long way and cause a lot of damage. Drugs. Everybody want to pop pills and pop a molly and all this kind of stuff. Adultery. Adultery, well, Almighty God said that marriage is sacred. But if you corrupt the marriage by running outside, the marriage is no longer sacred. There's no need to even be together no more, if you ask me, because once you cross this boundary, Your marriage is doomed to be over. It's bound to be over. Fornication. Well, let's go back to when we should do our best to clean ourselves. We know that that's the ways of the world, and we have so many ways to justify committing fornication. Even those amongst us who are believers, we still doing things that we know we don't supposed to do, but we go to the mosque or church or synagogue and we still pretend like we holier than thou with our righteous garments. I put this on Facebook. We hide behind garments as if we're holy or righteous, trying to cover up a lie. We must stop lying to ourselves, because when we lie to ourselves, it makes us more subject to lie to everybody else. So we need to stop sleeping around, because sleeping around, it really, well, my grandmother used to say, if you're getting the milk for free, you don't want to buy the cow. So you got a lot of unmarried brothers and sisters around here. They doing a lot of tasting, testing, and but ain't nobody married. There is no family values because of family. There's no family that exists amongst fornicators. Dependent to self-respect and self-sufficiency, meaning we must be able to depend on ourselves. I must be able to depend on Brother James to respect himself, and if he respects himself, he respects me. If he feeds himself, you know, Jesus, I'm not very proficient in the Bible at times, especially when I'm tired like this, but I think of what Jesus said, I would make you fishermen of men.
He did say that, brother. Yes, sir.
But I said that to say this. If you waiting on somebody to bring you the damn fish, you would never go fishing. So therefore, we must be self-sufficient. We must go out and produce our own food, go hunting, and I am not talking about deer hunting and bear hunting and going out trying to find wild boars and animals to eat. I'm saying that we must produce our own fruits, vegetables, whatever we have on this 196,940,000 square miles, we must produce. We must be self-sufficient. We must stop waiting for the crumbs from the white man's tables to fall so we can eat the crumbs and get full off crumbs, because we can never get full off crumbs. And universal recognition in the Brotherhood of Islam. Well, we must recognize our brothers and sisters no matter where they are, whether they're in the mosque, whether they come here from Pakistan, Palestine, or Turkey. I don't give a damn if it's a white man. If you're a Muslim, he's your brother in faith. So you can't look at a white man as a Muslim and say, that's not your brother. Or a brother from Palestine or Pakistan and say, that's not your brother. Just because he's not under the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Once again, we must set the example. And once we set the example, our brothers and sisters in the faith will follow that example. And we all will know and come to know that there is no God but Allah, who came in the person of Master Lord Muhammad, and they soon will be able to bear witness to that. But the only way they can bear witness to that is if we clean ourselves up and Almighty God Allah manifests himself in us who claim to be Muslims and followers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Most. And I say this with all respect, and I say this with all love, the Most Honorable Supreme Minister Louis Farrakhan. We follow these men as an example, then the whole world of Islam would know that this is the truth. They know this is, they gonna know this is real. They gonna look at us and say, damn, my glass is dirty, that glass is clean. I need to get my glass like his glass or her glass. That's all I got to say, brother.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. But now we are down, we only got 2 minutes, and that's really not enough time to deal with this. However, it states here, aim number 5, to pool our cash that each and every believer can spare in a national Muslim treasury for the purpose of teaching and training our men and women in both home and foreign universities to manufacture our own domestic needs, such as clothing, home furnishings, food, shelter, and sell the surplus. And I'm going to go to you, Student Minister James Muhammad. Like I say, aim number 5. It actually answers itself. However, we've got some up-to-date information, and I'd like you to share that with us.
Well, dear brother, you're right. It does, in the question, in the statement of the aim, is the answer to the question that it may pose, but I don't know exactly what up-to-date information you're referencing, except if the economic blueprint.
Yes, sir.
That that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is reintroducing from the program, the economic program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And that, of course, is for those of us to minimally put aside 1 nickel, 5 cents a day, 35 cents a week from every member, and he specified, of the working class, those of us in the black community who is drawing some kind of income, 5 cents a week. I don't remember how much that will render in a year, but I think it was like 200 million, over 200 million.
Yes, sir.
You know, if out of the 40 million or so people, and those out of that 40 or so million who are working would sacrifice that nickel a day. That's the basis of the economic blueprint. And again, it's a very simple, simple thing to understand. We have money that we waste, all of us, in one way or another. Money we spend on something we really did not have to spend it on. It's really a negligible amount, an insignificant amount. But you will find that we waste literally $20, $30, $40, $50, some of us $100 a week in sport, in play, or otherwise unnecessary activity. If we would just take some, not necessarily all, but some of that money that we're wasting and spending frivolously and set it aside to give to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that he may put that in an established national bank for the benefit of our people, then in a year or two or three, we would be self-sufficient. We would not have to beg the white man for better education in schools, better teachers in schools. We wouldn't have to beg him for jobs. The unemployment rate would not even concern us because we would have established businesses in which and by which we could employ not only ourselves, but them too. We could finance every black or historically black college and university, every black social and civic institution, the NAACP, the Urban League, the SCLC, whatever black organization that is now dependent upon white or white and Jewish philanthropy. We would truly be independent. So that it's just coming together in unity under wise guidance and trustworthy leadership. And that trustworthy leadership is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you, brother.
All praises be to Allah. Well, I mean, we're at the end. I first of all want to thank my panelists for coming on and taking time out of your busy schedules and out of your life to join us on the show tonight. I also want to thank everyone that called in, everyone that's in the chat room. And, of course, I want to thank Queen Aziza Miriam Muhammad and bring her on now so that she can give us the announcements, the lineup for the rest of the week.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Kareem. Well, tomorrow, as you know, a lot of our listeners are familiar that the first Tuesday of the month, we usually do not have a live broadcast because of our National Believers Meeting. So tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central, you will hear part two of Brother Jihad's series on courtship. That's a re-air from a couple of weeks ago that will start at 8 p.m. On Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central, join us for DJ Black Caesar and Friends, our hip-hop comedy show. On Thursday, finally, if Allah says the same, I will get to do the show that I intended to do in the beginning of all of this over 18 months ago, Walking with God, A Journey with Farrakhan. Of course, who will be joining me will be Student Minister James Muhammad, who so graciously blessed us tonight with his presence, along with Southwest Regional Student Minister Robert Muhammad and Brother Jamil Muhammad, and inshallah, Student Minister Tony Muhammad, who is the West Coast Regional Representative for the Nation of Islam. And on Friday, of course, we'll be right back here with Student Minister James again at 8 p.m. Central with Put on the New Man, our live study group. On Saturday, we'll be featuring the sounds of Chicago on Young, Gifted, and Black with Brother Daniel Muhammad and Brother Jamil Muhammad. And on Sunday, we'll be back at 6:30 p.m. Central with Brother Vernon on our economic development program, No Romance Without Finance. And, of course, next Monday, right back here again with my beloved brother Kareem Muhammad at 8 p.m. Central with Conscious Black Nation. And that's the lineup for the week, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. And again, like I said, I want to thank everyone for joining us.
Brother Kareem.
Thank you, sir.
I pray to Allah that something that we shared this evening, again, you can walk away with something that you can apply in your everyday life, because that is the most important thing. The teachings mean nothing unless they can solve the problems and help us with the situations that we face daily. Always imparting, as I say, the thought is the act is the fact. Participate or we will all dissipate. I want to leave you as I came with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Wa alaykum as-salam, sir.